Praise the Lord, everybody. Today is a good day, amen. Today is Good Friday. Today is the day that our Lord and our Savior shed his blood on Calvary freely. The Lamb of God, the one that was slain from the foundation of the earth, he give his life for us today, that now you and I are free in him, amen. Amen. I got a couple of scriptures to read, and then we'll pray and we'll sit down. So Exodus chapter 13, starting with verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to skip to chapter 14, starting with verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before a hard word, between Migdol and the sea, over against another hard word, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, then he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. Skipping down to verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Remember that. First words, fear not. The next words, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for every person that has gathered in this place in your name, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you have chose by the foolishness of preaching to save us. God, I know, Lord, that your word is revealing to us, God. Lord, I'm asking you to help us tonight, Lord, to receive your word, God. Lord, help us to understand what you're trying to say to us, Lord. God, and I'm asking you to move me out of your way tonight. God, Lord, just help me tonight to be your mouthpiece, God, to be your hands and your feet, God, and everything. I never want to fail to give you praise in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's a very familiar story, the Red Sea. But before we get there, I want to ask you a question. How did we get here? Exodus 1 and 8 says this, and there rose a king that knew not Joseph. I read this story a couple times. I've been reading it off and on I've read this multiple times, but here in the last little bit, I've read it multiple times. And this scripture jumped out to me, that there a king rose that knew not Pharaoh. There a king rose that knew not Joseph. I'm going to go give you guys a disclaimer too. My words are terrible sometimes, but that's okay. Because I know who I'm preaching about. I get nervous when I do this because I care. I care because I know what God's burdened on my heart, amen. I'm not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ because I know it saved me and it can save anybody. I know that God has the power to set free. He's able to set free, heal, and deliver, and set you on a rock and give you strength. Man, God, preach. Help me, Lord. There was a king that rose that knew not Joseph. And how did Joseph get to Egypt? Well, I'm going to tell you, his brothers, they sold him into slavery.
They was jealous of him. They was jealous of the zeal of God. When you got the zeal of God in your life, there's people around you that don't like you. They could say they like you, but they don't really like you. They could say that they're your friend and whatever it is, but whenever push comes to shove, they will sell you into slavery. And this is exactly what happened to Joseph. But what they did not know was that this was exactly the plan of God. God had already got Joseph lined up for this already because he had a plan for him that he was going to be the savior of Egypt. Amen. Through a long list of stories, I'm going to paraphrase because that's a long story and you can't read it all. Through a lot of stuff that Joseph had went through, he wound up in prison for the second time. And when he was in prison, and he was with another man that was also part of the king's house. And this man had had a dream, and Joseph had helped interpret this dream, and he told him exactly what was going to happen, and that came to pass. And whenever he was freed from this prison, Joseph told him, said, don't forget about me. But guess what he did? He forgot. I'm going to get to that in a minute. So whenever he forgot about Joseph, who was in the prison, Joseph was left there again. For years had passed by, and now the king had a bad dream. And this man that remembered the dream that Joseph had interpreted for him. He said, hey, I know a guy. I know, you know, it's really awesome. When you run into a problem, it might be something crazy, but you're like, man, I know somebody. Hold on a minute. I'll give you a phone number. You call this guy and he's going to help you. I've been here before. I've seen this. He tells the king this and the king says, go get him. Bring him to me. The king falls in love with Joseph because he knows now that this is a man of God. Because what he told him was, he said, you better get this place in order. Because there's a famine coming and we're going to have to start really dividing the spools up and we're really going to have to start saving it. Because this place is going to go through it. And the king trusted him. And it sure enough, it came to pass. And Egypt survived. They fed many people after that. There was people come from all over the countries looking for help. And they found it with Joseph and Egypt. Even so, the brothers who sold him into slavery, they also come to him. And he finds them, also gives them refuge. So now the children of Israel are now part of Egypt. But guess what? Their name never changed. They stayed the children of Israel because God had a calling on their life. Even though they was dwelling in Egypt, even though they lived there, they never took the name of an Egyptian. They still kept the name that they was the children of Israel. Amen. Because God's got a purpose for you. We don't belong in Egypt, amen. That's not where we belong. We belong in Canaan land, amen. We belong where God has called us to go. We're not going to stay here. I'm only passing through. But I want to take as many people with me to the promised land that I can, amen. That's why I don't care to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know it's able to save everybody, amen. So now here we find ourselves when that scripture, when I read that, it just, my little amp and a half fuse just got poof, blown. How could somebody be part of this land and not know Joseph? How can somebody that lived in this same Egypt not know who Joseph was? That bothers me. Josh, you're all over it. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep preaching to that baby. You know what? My babies may never throw a baseball or a softball or a football on a Sunday, but I've heard them throw up a couple hallelujahs. I've seen them throw their hands up. There ain't nothing wrong with teaching your kids about the gospel because guess what? That's going to go with them. You're called for more than this. We don't live in the land of Egypt, but how in the world does a person not know Joseph if he saved Egypt? I'm going to tell you how. If you look up that word new, the pastor's been on this word thing with us, man, and it's awesome, and I love it. I thank you. Thank you. Because it makes you search the scripture a little deeper. And if you look up that word new, I'm not going to try to pronounce the word that it is in Greek. I'm not a Greek. I can't do it. I'm not even going to attempt it, but I will tell you something that Sam has also taught us. That we go back to the word of first mention or the law of first mention. And the very first time that this word new is mentioned, it is in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had sinned and they knew that they was naked. So it means knowledge. So this man had no knowledge of Joseph. But the second time that this word is mentioned is when Adam knew Eve and they conceived. So we know what knew means with that. It means relationship. So he had no knowledge nor relationship with Joseph. How could anybody else around him not start telling him, hey, you don't want to do this because Joseph saved us? Just like us today, how can you, knowing the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not tell somebody else about Jesus? It's the same concept. It's whenever you hold on to the gospel and you keep it in your heart and you don't want to share it to somebody, he's saying the same thing. How can somebody in this day and time not know Jesus? Because we've got a mouthpiece that we can speak for him. God is always going to have a herald proclaiming his name. Always God's going to call somebody to tell somebody about somebody that's going to save your soul. As the song says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody that's going to save you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we find ourselves in bondage because this king was afraid of the Israelites. He seen how powerful they was and he knew that they had God on their side. It's evident. It's evident that they had God on their side because you know why? They was prospering. We don't have to have riches and glory to prosper. Just like Thomas said last night, I've seen poor people that's so happy because they know about Jesus. I know Jesus and he has set me free and I'm not afraid to tell anybody about him. There's no high better than the Most High, amen. So whenever you have a king that doesn't know him and he's jealous of these people already, he says, let's put them to work. Let's use these people because it's a mighty nation. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of folks that can have a shovel in their hand. There's a lot of people that can make bricks to build my buildings. There's a lot of people that can do all. And the Bible says that he made them work with mortar and with rigor. He put hard work, hard labor on them. He oppressed them, but the Bible also says the more that he oppressed them, the bigger they grew. If you're in oppression, that's okay when you're a child of God because God's with you even in the oppression. God does not forget who he's chosen. God will never leave you forsaken. He'll never leave you desolate. He will not leave you broken. He's going to fix you, amen. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Time and time again, he's never failed me. He's never left me forsaken. Not one time. I've never spent one day, one minute, one moment without Jesus. Amen. He's always been with me. Even when I was hard-headed and a knucklehead and didn't want to follow after him, he still pursued me. And I'm thankful for that because he really does leave the 99 and come after the one. Because I've been the one before. I've been the one before, and he still pursues me. He still goes after you. So whenever Moses arises, whenever the king put out a decree that he was going to kill all the man children, the mother of Moses was hard-headed just like I would be. I would not want to kill my child. She takes him, puts him in a river, and guess what? It's Pharaoh's daughter that gets him. And his name was Moses because his name was after her. She said, I'm going to name him Moses because he was drawn out of the water. That's the Bible. Now Moses, he didn't fit in. But yet he sat at the Egyptians' table. He sat at the Pharaoh's table. He learned all about their laws. He learned everything. They fed him. They taught him. They probably taught him how to fight. They probably taught him how to build. They give him knowledge. But what they did not know was that he was not really working for them. Nor did he know it. But God had a greater purpose for Moses. Long story short, a lot of stuff happens and Moses winds up in the desert or in the wilderness and he sees a bush that's burning and it's not consumed. I'm going somewhere. You just hold on. He sees a bush that's not consumed and he gets a little bit like, what in the world is that? How is this possible? I have seen a bunch of burning bushes in the wilderness, but never one that's still burning. it's still going on. I got to go see what's going on. And God speaks to him. He tells him that I am that I am. And I want you to go back to my, I want you to go back to my people before they cry out to me because they're in bondage. They're crying out to me. They need a savior. And I want to use you to go save them. He said, but you're going to choose me? I can't even talk right. I can't speak plain. I can't do none of this. But he said, it don't matter. You open your mouth, Moses, and I'm going to feel it. So guess what? Even myself, when I have awful words sometimes, I don't care because I know when I open my mouth, God's going to feel it. Amen. So whenever Moses goes back to Pharaoh, he tells him, he says, let my people go that they may worship me is what the Lord God said. And Pharaoh said, what God? What God are you talking about? There is no God greater than our Egyptian gods. Blah, blah, blah. Yuck. So he proves it to him. He proves it to him through multiple plagues. Multiple. And I'm not going to name them all except for the frogs for Brittany. That there's all kinds of plagues. And read your Bible, please. I'm paraphrasing. But man, it's awesome. What God really does is really awesome. And in all of this, he's there through the whole thing. He never leaves them forsaken. But now we find ourselves that Pharaoh is finally aggravated with this Moses. He's, get him out of here and get all those people out of here. I'm tired. I'm tired of losing crops. I'm tired of losing animals. And I'm tired. And we've lost our firstborn. I'm tired of losing. Get him out of here. So he says, let his people go. Go on. And that's where we find ourselves. And it came to pass when the people was let go that God let them not go through the way of the Philistines. Now listen to this. This is crazy. The story of the children of Israel is they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years is a very long time. I'm 43 years old, getting to be 44. I feel like I've been alive for a long time. I've got a lot of memories. And it's only and they're only increasing. They was out there for 40 years. I can imagine. Think about that. My entire life, they're out there in the wilderness. And their shoes never wore out. Think about that. Their provision was always there. God made a way every single time. He led them by the day through a cloud. He led them by night through a pillar of fire. God was with them every single step. Not one step that they take that they took was by themselves. God was with them. He ordained every step that they took. But yet they still murmured and they still complained. And I find myself sometimes still murmuring. Still complaining, and I know that my steps are ordained by the Lord, but yet I still find myself, why? Why am I going through this like this? What's going on like this? But man, when God shows you exactly why, man, he gets the glory because I can't do nothing but just throw my hands up and say, God, I'm sorry that I was selfish and thought that this was about me when really this is about you, amen. Oh man, thank you, Jesus. So here we find ourselves. Free. Man, you imagine how awesome that was for them. Turn them loose. Let them out of here. The biggest jailbreak in history is what the analogy is. I don't know exact number. Some say it's 3 million. Some say it's 1 million. It's a bunch. A whole bunch of people. Lots of people. And all of a sudden, they're just taking off. And Moses is leading them. Think about that. You know, you've seen a million people at one time. You're talking about a stampede of folks, man. And then they're all rejoicing and happy and just overwhelmed with gratitude that they're free until they run into the Red Sea. God said, lead them to the Red Sea. He said those exact words, lead them to the Red Sea, so that way that they don't see war and they don't faint with fear. So he led them there. He gave them direction to go right here to the banks of the shore of the Red Sea. And they heard the drums. They heard the chariots. They heard the horses. Whatever was going on behind them, it put them in major fear. The Bible says that they were sore afraid. And they said, Moses, could we not have just died in Egypt? Could we just not have stayed in Egypt? Because now that we're free, we're going to die out here anyway. But man, I don't know about you, but I'd rather die a free man than die under bondage. I'd rather die when God leads me out of somewhere than I am in a prison cell somewhere. Amen. I'm thankful that God does lead you and he does guide you, even though it don't look like this is where you need to be, but you just trust after him. He's going to put you, he does put you exactly where he wants you. Think about the fear that goes on their heart. I put this in the terms of salvation. Or in the type and shadow of salvation. Here we are in sin, Egypt. Here we are, we find salvation. They're turned loose. And here we run into the Red Sea. Fear. Your past. Everything that you was ever under bondage under starts haunting you. Starts coming up behind you. It starts creeping in. Now this happens in a moment when you're at the altar. I've been here. I have been right here. I go to the altar and I lay down my sins and God help me. Lord, free me from this bondage that I'm in. Lord, free me from this awful pit that I've been in. And before my feet can get up on the ground, the devil starts telling me, you ain't real. You ain't got nothing. This ain't real. This place is fake. This place doesn't have any power. That's not really God drawing you. That's just your emotions. All this stuff starts just beating in your head and you just start getting overwhelmed with fear. But God, I thought you was going to save me. And you're here stuck on the banks of the Red Sea just like the children of Israel. But man, let's start comparing the Red Sea to the red blood of Jesus Christ. Because today, on Good Friday, Jesus shed his blood for the salvation of all of us. All of a sudden, God says, stand still. But he says the very first words he says, and I love that, fear not. Because the fear is a tool of the enemy. Fear will hold you captive longer than you ever thought about. Because you're afraid of it. You're like, did God really call me? Did God really say that to me? Is that really God telling me to go lay hands on that person? Is that really God calling me to talk to that person that I think's lost? Is that really God telling me to witness to the person that I work with? Stop listening to the fear and understand that whenever God starts telling you to do something, it's exact opposite of what the devil's going to tell you to do, because the devil's never going to tell you to pray for somebody. The devil's never going to tell you to witness to somebody. So God said, fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For today, that enemy that used to haunt you in your past, you're going to see him no more. You're going to see it no more, amen. So whenever God started blowing the wind over the nighttime, the east wind blew all night long and the children of Israel started through the Red Sea. And the Bible says it was a wall of water on their left and a wall of water on their right. Have you ever seen a pond that dries up? It takes it months before that muck turns into something you can walk on. If you step in it, it's going to pull your boots off. But they walked across on dry ground. Don't tell me your steps ain't ordained by God. Don't tell me that God's going to put you in a place that you can't stand. God said, I'm going to set your feet on a solid rock to trust him. It's time to just trust him and understand that he's not going to leave you forsaken in no way whatsoever. So they walk across on dry ground, but guess who follows them? Their past. Their past starts beating up behind them. And it was like, man, just stop. Stop right here and watch this. You know that man that used to beat you back there, that taskmaster, his whip burns are on your back that are still stinging? Watch this. You know that thing that used to hold you captive? You know that thing that used to have you addicted? You know that thing that used to keep you bound? Watch this. Watch what happens when you put it in the blood. God's going to destroy it. He's going to take it and wash over you. He's going to cover you up because that's what Jesus' blood does. Amen. There's not a sin that can't be covered in the blood of Jesus. There's not one of them. That's why we can preach the gospel across the whole world. Nobody's exempt from the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is powerful enough. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, for it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats for your salvation. It's impossible. Impossible, but man, what Jesus did on Good Friday, when Jesus said it is finished on the cross and the blood was poured out, and you and I now are the righteousness of God because he that knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something really crazy about this. I have preached this sermon before, but God added to it. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us has got a past. If you're living today and you're more than 12 minutes old, you've got a past. Every one of us has done something stupid. Ignorant, sorry. Every one of us has done something we're not proud of. And every now and again, that devil, he'll wind up right there beside, you remember what you did, you dirty, rotten dog. You remember what you did. Do you remember how that made you feel? You call yourself a man of God. Well, let me tell you something. I want you to go to the Red Sea right now. I want you to go right now, this day, today, and you go dig up one of them chariots and you chase me with it. You go get one of them swords that's been covered up under that blood. You go get one of them weapons that the Bible, that the enemy tried to use against you right now. You cannot use it. It is impossible to use it because the blood destroyed it. The Red Sea, when it covered up all of it. Amen. The Bible says this, that there is no weapon that is formed against you that's going to prosper. Not one weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. So what God has put in the blood, don't you dare try to get it back out, devil. Don't you dare try to swing that sword at me, because your weapons are useless against the blood of Jesus. I thought about that, man. I was like, whenever that come to me, I was literally watching a documentary that they think they found a wheel or chariot wheel. Really awesome looking. It's really awesome. Pretty cool to see it. It looks like a perfect chariot wheel. So, man, you hook a horse to that, it's going to disintegrate. Probably put it in the air, and it's going to disintegrate. And that's when God spoke to me and said, and you're worried about what you did in your past coming back to haunt you? Let me tell you something. Don't you dare try to pull out who I used to be. Don't you dare pull that out, because I'm telling you, I have been bought with a price. I have been blood washed. I have been spirit filled, and Jesus is in me. Amen. So that's a literal statement. When he said no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper, not one of them, not anything that you used to be, because, man, whenever I'm going to share a testimony with you. I hadn't been going to Brother Damon's church. It was New Life Tabernacle at the time. I hadn't been going here long. And he called on me to testify one morning. And I got up, and man, it was good. I don't know what I said, but it was good. Anytime you're talking about the God I serve, it's good. And I don't mean that in a cocky way. I'm not meaning that it's about me. This is about my God. I'm proclaiming him. And anything I say about him is good, amen, because he is good. But I got up, and I was testifying, man, and the power of God hit me, and I was walking back and forth quoting scripture. I'm not bound anymore. I'm not bound by what I used to be bound by. And there just happened to be some folks in the audience. There just happened to be some folks in the congregation that used to run with me when I was younger. And after church, man, I'll never forget this. They come up to me and said, who do you think you are? I know what you used to be. And I said, I'm going to tell you exactly who I am. Because I think it's literal. Whenever he said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. Don't you try to pull me back out of the blood. Don't you try to pull me away from what I used to be. Because my God set me free, amen. He changed me in and out. Man, your appearance changes, your mentality changes, your voice changes, your talk changes, your walk changes. You know, we work in a harsh environment, and every one of my buddies in here could say amen. We work around every one of you is my buddies. I'm talking about my work buddies. We work around some pretty rough folks. And it's sometimes it gets pretty blah, blah, blah. And man, I'm telling you, but when you could stand there and you can hear some of the stuff and you just think, God, I am so glad that you have changed me. I am so glad that I am free. I am so glad that I don't have to, man, I don't have to get this from a bottle. I don't have to get this from a pill bottle. I don't have to get this from a substance that goes in my nose. I can get this from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. There is nothing better than the blood of Jesus. Nothing. If you don't know Jesus, you're missing out. You are missing him, because he's able to heal you. Not only can he heal you, he can fill you. The hole that we have inside of us that we're born with, that we're prone to worship something. We're prone to worship, and I'm going to quote the pastor, if you go to your ball game and watch your kids, and your kid does something awesome, you're going to stand up, yeah, and raise your hands. Don't you dare come to the church house and not raise your hands whenever they mention Jesus. Don't you dare, because there's no champion better than our champion. There is no hero bigger than our hero, amen. Aaron, you guys can come. There is no hero better than our hero. There is nothing in this world. There's nothing that this world has to offer. It looks real enticing. Listen to Thomas' sermon last night. Listen to it. Awesome word. This world will try to entice you. It'll try to pull you. It'll try to manipulate you the way you see it. It's going to try to cover with your eyes, be like, it looks like it's so much better than what it really is. And then when you get it, it's going to be rotten and full of dust. It's really not filling. But man, when you get in this Word of God, and when you get a relationship with the one that you're reading about, you can get a fulfillment that this world cannot offer you. God is a good God. And what he did for us on Calvary today, the selfless sacrifice, the one that knew no sin, that became sin, that you and I, stinky old nasty sinners that we was, he died for us. Even when we was in our sins and trespasses, Christ died for the ungodly. That's exactly why whenever I raise my hands in worship, I don't care if it offends you. I don't care if it offends you that I'm loud, because you didn't die for me, but Jesus did. So I'm going to give him all of the praise that's in my lungs. Amen. Hallelujah. And Brother Darren, man, he said some stuff in Sunday school this past Sunday was awesome. He inspired me. How can we forget? How can we forget? Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't you dare forget where God brought you from, but don't you dare forget what he did on Calvary. Man, what he did on Calvary, this day right here, on this Good Friday, on this day right here, when the blood was spilled, that blood was able to cover all of us. All, the whole world. It never runs out. If you cut the blood, or if you cut a bull and you bleed it out, its blood's going to run out. If you cut a lamb, it's going to run out. It could only cover a little bit, and it wasn't even enough to cover the multitude of sins that there was in the family, much less the sins of the world. But this spotless Lamb of God, the one that was slain from the foundation of the world, the one that was, that this is the only reason that we're here, is because of the blood of Jesus. It's only because of him, amen. I'm going to read this last scripture, Micah 7, 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Man, what a God. What a God. He retaineth not his anger forever. You know, some people, you make them mad, they're mad at you forever. Some people, you get an enemy, they're enemies for life. We can't be like that, because we got a God that delighteth himself in mercy. I look back at my past sometimes and I see some things that I used to do and I catch myself. I catch myself looking at somebody else going, man, I don't know what to do for them. I know exactly what to do for them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how I was once in the same position, that I was looking for something on every corner, but only God could satisfy me. Only God could give me that what I was looking for. Verse 19 says, he will turn again and he will have compassion upon us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the compassion. Thank you for compassion. And he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. If you got something in your life, let's all stand. If you've got something in your life, I want to rephrase that. We've all been in a spot before wherever we feel like I can have forgiveness for this. I've got forgiveness for this. I've got forgiveness for this. But this one thing in my life that I did, I can't feel released from it. I'm telling you right now, we serve a God that can release you. He can release your bonds because he is a chain-breaking Savior. Man, it's awesome to watch the power of God move upon somebody's life and know that they are free because it changes everything about them. I once was bound by some substance, but my God, through his immaculate mercy, has set me free. And I know this, that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. There's nothing that you can give God that he's not seen before. So if you've got a burden, as they sing, if you've got a burden, I'm going to say it like this. Our altar is always open. And the pastor has taught us for years that this is not a place of shame. But this is a place to get power. This is a place to get freedom. If you have got something that you need to give to the Lord, I beg you by the mercies of God, give it to him. Lay it down at the altar and walk away from it. Let God encapsulate you with his love. Let him just enamor you with his love. Show up and show off in this. So as they sing this song, if you want to pray, our altars are always open and we have multiple people that will pray with you. If you need prayer, if you need hands laid on you, by all means, step forward. We've got a God that will supply all of our needs.